live from Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders. And indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this fifth day of April, 2023. And tonight we have with us, well, she is, first I got to go back to the board. Always do the board first because on the board we have the big man himself with a smile, no one other than Kyle.
Hey, Pastor, how are you?
Very good, young fellow. And then we have out there, she's the all-natural medicine marm, if you will, Miss Mother Nature out there herself, Miss Wendy Wilson.
Good evening, Pastor.
Boy, Wendy, we got a whole lot to do tonight, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would have had you, I mean, last week, but you went and had your eye scratched. And that was a painful, painful, painful experience, was it not?
Yeah, it's for me, it's from dry eye, from a lot of reading and computer work, and wasn't being as vigilant as I should, Pastor, with the eye drops, the wetting drops. And what happens is your eyelid can kind of scratch the cornea, which has got a lot of nerve endings in it. It's very painful. So, yeah, I was on for 3 days not to use the computer or watch TV and let it heal. So
You were actually on bed rest for a day or two, weren't you?
I was, yeah, because it's real painful, so it makes you tired. So you really can't do anything, so you might as well close your eyes and just get as much sleep as you can.
All righty, very good. Well, we've seen that beauty sleep has worked very well on you.
Yeah.
All righty, let me get right into our scripture tonight, because the title of the message was The Undeniable Accounts of Messiah's Death. And Wendy, we've been taking a look through God's Word, the Bible, the many, many prophecies, over 1,800 prophecies, and so many of them related, I mean, to the death of Messiah, the life of Messiah, in all aspects, and the accuracy. And we looked through how all of these prophecies made in the Old Testament, some, well, one actually goes all the way back over 4,000 years prior to its fulfillment in the New Testament. In that sense, we see the New Testament is kind of like a commentary on the Old Testament. And tonight we're going to pick it up where we left off, and that is the profound grief and agony of our Messiah. And so we're going to pick it up in Isaiah 53. Now, Wendy, there's...
Pastor?
Yes,
before
ma'am.
You start, I wanted to say thank you to you and all the listeners that were praying for my eye recovery. Thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome. Yeah, we were praying for you, and we missed you when you weren't here with us. Let's go to Isaiah 53. We're going to start in verse 3. And as we look here now at the account of the suffering, the profound grief and agony of the Messiah. And so here we're going to pick it up in verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He had, as it were, we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Now it's an interesting thing because many Jews, not all, many Jews though, many of them won't read this passage of Scripture. Others recognize who this is. Now, when I was in Israel, I talked to a number of Orthodox Jews that say, yes, we realize that is Messiah, that Jesus Christ is Messiah. We realize that. And so, but unfortunately, they still, like Judaizers, believe that you're saved through faith in Christ and also keeping of the certain laws. In other words, the laws of Moses, so on and so forth. And instead of being saved by grace alone. But now, here, others will claim that this passage is not referring to a man, but to the nation of Israel itself. But that would be absolutely absurd if we listen to very carefully to what it says here. Because if you have this, then you would have the nation of Israel betraying itself, and the nation of Israel here wounding itself, bruising itself. But let's start over again here. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Kind of sounds like he's talking about an individual man, right?
Yeah, it does.
And we hid as it were our faces from him. So you'd have to ask, are they hiding their faces from themselves? Okay. Now, he was despised and he was esteemed him not. Now, here it's an interesting thing, because when we take a look at that, that word esteemed him not means we counted him as nothing. We counted him as nothing. Surely he hath borne our griefs. Now, this is an interesting statement here, because that word actually in the Hebrew means sickness, Wendy. It means sickness. It says, we have borne our sickness and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. And here, all sickness and pain is ultimately the result of what? Sin.
Sin. Yeah.
Would there have been any sickness in the world had not Adam and Eve sinned?
Right, no.
No. And so, here, and often they're talking about, here it's talking about the fatal sickness of death itself. And he goes and goes on to say, and he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes are we healed. Now, you've got another word there, bruised. That means literally crushed. It means that word there in Hebrew means crushed, as to death. If you go back to Genesis 3:15, but here, of course, that was referring to the crushing of the head of Satan in there, but that's what that word was used for. Now here, in verse 4, when it says, surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, and yet we did esteem him stricken, means plagued. That word there means plagued, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes are we healed. We all like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, when he's referring to sheep, he's talking about as a type here, and he's referring to people that are basically corporate in their sin, aren't they?
Yeah.
And so he goes on to say, and he laid on him the iniquity of us all. Again, here, laid on him, it was laid upon him with what? A death-dealing blow is what it's referring to here. Now, he was oppressed and afflicted. This verse we'll probably come back to here as we go on, because if we look back in Matthew, one of the things that he was silent before Pilate. And as we come back here, verse 7, he was oppressed. Actually, you could almost preach a whole message on this one verse here. He was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? So that's an interesting thing, too, because, in other words, he's saying, what it's saying is, who of his generation will even acknowledge him? That's what he's referring to. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, and neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Okay, and so because he bore our iniquities, we receive what? That's what he's telling you. We receive Christ's righteousness because he did bear our iniquities. Now, here I want to go over to Matthew 26. In Matthew 26, this is the Old Testament prophecy. Now, here's where it's fulfilled in Matthew 26, starting with verse 36. And cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and say unto his disciples, sit here a while, and I go and I pray yonder. Now, Wendy, this is a real intense passage of scripture. I want you to just think about this here and just kind of close your eyes and see if you can picture the Lord in the garden there. I was in that garden. It's a beautiful, beautiful garden there. And I think they had olive trees in there that are a couple thousand years old, believe it or not. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry you here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and said unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And then he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Now, Wendy, I want you to think about something. What do you think was on his mind right there?
I think the bride of Christ.
Well, the church, well, yeah, obviously the church, you know, was why he was going to the cross, but he was about to go to the cross. He was about to be crucified.
Mm-hmm.
And now we all know the horrors of the crucifixion, right?
Right.
But that wasn't his main thing that occupied his mind. Upon him was going to be placed the sins of the entire world, past, present, and future. You have to try to understand this. Upon him, you see, now, there's no way that you and I can even begin to conceive what that means, but Christ could. He understood, you see, the depth and the extreme, extreme heaviness of placing upon him the sins. Those sins of the world were worse than all of the physical tortures that he went through. And they were so great. Now, God the Father cannot look upon sin without judging sin and punishing sin. And so for an instant, God the Father had to turn his head away from the Son because the pain was so extremely great. And so do you ever try to contemplate what that might mean to have the sins of the entire world placed upon you?
Well, I guess the closest my little feeble brain could get is if I were to be on a scale or a set of scales, and on the other scale they put a millstone. How do you weigh against that, you know?
Millstone weighed 4,000 pounds, I hear you.
Yeah, so it would be impossible for me to do it.
Yeah. But it's just, it's very hard to even begin to try to reconcile that in your mind, how you could do that. Okay, but he goes on to say here, and he came and he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh them to the disciples and saying to him, sleep now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of the sinners. And so here I want to go now to Psalm 41, verse 9. We see how he is betrayed by his old familiar friend who he would eat with. And in Psalm 41, verse 7 through 9, Psalm 41, verse 7 through 9, all that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they deliver my hurt. An evil disease, say they, cleaveth fast unto him. See, that goes back to what we just referred to in Isaiah 53. And now he lieth, he shall rise up no more. Yea, mine own familiar friend, and whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Now, this is a psalm of David. Now, you have, do you know what types and shadows are?
Right.
Well, here you have both a type and a shadow of David as a type of Christ in a way. And in fact, Christ was set up on David's throne. But here, David's old familiar friend was Ahithophel. And do you know who Ahithophel was?
No.
He was his right-hand man, his top general, and his advisor. And here David's advisor, his number one guy, betrayed him to his own son, Absalom, who had decided to kill David.
Rest up against him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, think about this. How hard it is to be betrayed. I mean, you know, we've all been betrayed by people who, we respected, or people we cared a lot for, meant something to us. And betrayal, to us, betrayal is a repulsive thing. Within the collective, within the liberal community, within the communist community, betrayal is something that to be embraced. If you can betray someone of stature, someone of importance and stature and power, if you can betray them, someone close to you, and bring them down, then within the collective, then that adds to your stature, to your stock within the collective. This is, right out of Satan's playbook. It's satanic, but that's, it works that way. We saw that. Remember how Jimmy Carter, and within 1 week he was shaking hands with a Shaw, having his picture taken, his arm around, and then he betrayed the Shaw. We saw that with Barack Obama when he betrayed the president of Egypt, Barak. Within, he made that big peace deal and all of that and everything, and then turned around and betrayed him. And the next thing you know, he was in jail, sick and dying. We saw Hillary Clinton, how she betrayed Gaddafi, Muammar Gaddafi, you know, within a week or so of working out a peace deal, a plan, you know, over there. Remember, I'm having one of my senior moments, the big where thing that came down and we lost all of those men. And the ambassador, Stevens, I believe his name was.
Yep.
But anyhow, here, Hillary betrayed him to the... Al-Qaeda, and they beat him to death in the streets, and he was begging for mercy, begging. And Hillary and her girlfriend, Uma, they're watching this on television, and they're laughing and they're mocking him. He's begging for mercy as they're beating him. She's cackling. She's a wicked woman. And Hillary is wicked to the core, to the bone. She is wicked, okay? Within the collective now, her stock went way up when that happened because she was able to betray someone. Joseph Stalin said it. He said to lay your head upon the breast of a friend to gain their complete confidence and trust, and then thrust a dagger in their back. There's nothing sweeter. You can sleep well at night. That was Joseph Stalin. And so, anyhow, I'm going to... run over here very quickly to Matthew 26, and in Matthew 26, again, we're going to see how our Lord was betrayed in the same way. Here, Matthew 26, verses 20 through 21. Now when evening was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said unto them, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto him, unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had better been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said, Thou hast said. All right, very good. We're going to listen. Here's a confession by Obama Biden, by Joe Biden. Here is a confession. Go ahead and play it loud, Kyle.
We just have to demonstrate that he will not take power. If he does run, making sure he, under legitimate efforts of our Constitution, does not become the next president again.
I feel so certain about this faith of mine. I'm hanging in there, doing fine. King Jesus is a friend of mine. I'm blessed by you. Saving babies, teaching sinners. Hell's for losers, heaven's for winners. This work is not for beginners. I'm blessed by you. I'm coming home someday. Heaven's my way. I'm blessed by you. Where the saints all stay and little children play. I'm blessed by you. Where the saints of old walk on streets of gold. I know that I will see that heavenly prize. It's no surprise. coming home someday. Heaven's my way, I'm blessed by you. Where the saints all stay and little children play, I'm blessed by you. Where the saints of old walk on streets of gold, I know that I will see my mansion on high through glorified eyes. How happy I'll be.
Blessed by you. Hey, you know, Wendy, recently, I was out recently in some Amish stores. We go out there in, where a number of the Amish out in Middlefield, it's a large Amish community, and they're getting into the retail business more and more now with their little country-type salvage stores. And you can get some real bargains out there. But anyhow, one of the things that you'll find in every one of those is an area where they have all natural medicines like you. All natural medicines, the kind of stuff that you have there. And, you know, they're not cheap either, okay? They're not, and the Amish really, you know, they run things that, you know, usually they're way below where you get it in other stores, but they understand what you understand about natural medicine. God gave us natural medicines. And I understand now that there's actually, from what I was told today, there's actually a pharmaceutical company called Pharmakia. That's their actual name, Pharmakia, meaning wizardry and witchcraft. I can't believe it, but yeah, I can. Today, yes, they're out in the open. But anyhow, I was just telling them, we're watching people, and boy, people are stocking up on the natural medicines. And folks, so this is why I'm going to give you this phone number. It's 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. I keep a full supply of Wendy's natural medicine on hand at all times because we don't know what's happening, but we know one thing. God gave us the natural herbs, and we know what Big Pharma gives us. It's killing people, killing them left and right. And with that, Wendy, what do you have for us tonight?
Well, I thought we'd talk about being aware of the pandemics that will obviously be coming in the future. And it's important to realize how they're being or how they're emerging, okay? Because there is this extreme speculation on what the next pandemic may be. And a lot of your news outlets are discussing mutated versions of various viruses and predominantly your COVID SARS variety. Now, throughout history, pandemics are kind of recorded as being random as an occurrence. But in our modern times, pandemics seem to be more frequent and somewhat predictable. And people are arguing that, you know, the world is overpopulated and we're often in close quarters, especially with air travel. Well, those elements may contribute to pathogen spread, but they're usually not the cause of it. So what may be the next pandemic candidate is what we're going to kind of propose. Now, it's not an prediction. It's just giving you some information to make you aware. So in the past, viruses, which are pathogen, obviously, they are easily spread. Viruses are easily spread throughout a population and usually are the most deadly type of pathogen compared to, let's say, bacterial infections. Now, a virologist once stated that the fastest way to cause mortality in humans is a pulmonary virus. That's the fastest way to infect somebody is through the pulmonary, your lung system. So we have noticed now in the last 100 years that these types of viral strains have increased. And according to the National Library of Medicine, the National Center for Biotechnology, they reported in December 2020, they said this, the last four decades we have witnessed some of the deadliest viral pandemics with far-reaching consequences, end of quote. So what the journal article was really referring to was these viral strains that seem to reappear in the news reports. And over the last 40 years, what have we seen? Well, AIDS, HIV in 1981, SARS-CoV, the severe acute respiratory syndrome, or coronaviruses in 2002, the H1N1 avian bird virus in 2009, the MERS-CoV, Middle Eastern respiratory syndrome, coronavirus in 2012, Ebola virus in 2013, and of course your SARS-CoV-2, severe acute respiratory syndrome, coronavirus 2 in 2019 to present. So what these viral species have in common is high fatality when it comes to males, Pastor. So now why is that? So if a virus is bioengineered as a weapon, it would make sense to create it to remove the greater threat, which would be adult males. Now, another major characteristic to a lot of these pandemic viruses is to subject your immune system, suppress it, and cause a lot of inflammation in the body. So inflammation leads to inviting more disease, and more disease weakens the body, and then there's a domino effect. So according to the University of North Carolina, the bat coronavirus we've been hearing about, they say it will enter the human body using the same receptors as in bats. So once it's inside, the virus will replicate in the lung cells. And science has been studying bat viruses since 2003, and it has identified 5,000 different viruses that bats seem to harbor. And they have a large pool of viruses that they can manipulate now to make infectious diseases from them. So they can kind of merge several viruses together and make a new one, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So what we have is really not a disease prevention system, but we have a disease manufacturing and management system. This was Dr. Ralph Barrick. He's professor of epidemiology at UNC, who said, studies have predicted the existence of nearly 5,000 coronaviruses in bat populations, and some of these have the potential to emerge as human pathogens. So this is not a situation of if there will be an outbreak of one of these coronaviruses, but rather when and how prepared we'll be to address it, end of quote. So they've been playing, they've been studying, they've been manipulating, they've been editing. So how can a disease system convince the masses that a rare animal disease is indeed a threat and to have people agree to be experimented on with a vaccine treatment? Do you want to know how they did it?
Yep.
Okay, so this is what happened. This is a report in 2015. It said this. This was Elena Lewiskrit. She's a PhD. She was studying social construction, and she says what they do is use metaphors. She studied the bird flu outbreak, for instance, and the media reports on it, and she noticed that more people were dying from other diseases than from the bird flu. And she also picked up on the scientific community and the media's use of the natural disasters to describe the threat of the bird flu. So they are using metaphors of war and natural disasters to kind of whip up anxiety and fear regarding things like bird flu. So, for example, she said the newspapers compared the bird flu to storms, earthquakes, floods, to imply its destructive force. She also said she did a search and she checked and found that in the media, the bird flu was used with words like battle, fight, weapons, combat, eradicate, defense, and front line. And so she concluded that the use of military metaphors were used to imply there's a war on bird flu rather than on animals that carried it. And she explains that the use of these metaphors in this instance have cultural effects in which, you know, dictatorial solutions would be implemented. And she adds that it is the use of the metaphors that people perceive such reports to be taken as truth. So we need to be aware of that. So pandemics, they're really shopping for diseases, and pandemics, or the perception of one, radically changes your population landscape. So there is now this global network of scientists. They're sharing a lot of research on diseases. They have quite a collection of disease specimens spanning animal, plant, and even human species. So today, diseases can be edited to make new versions of them to span species. So a pathogen that once was dedicated to, let's say, animal kingdom, now can jump the gap and be more virulent and infect different species, including humans. So all diseases harbor weaknesses and strengths that can be manipulated with the gene editing. So turning on or off gene receptors and proteins can make a disease that was once restricted to a specific species capable of infecting a new category of species, including you and me. So the public needs to understand that disease mutations that science likes to cite takes thousands of years under natural circumstances. And the scientists could not possibly say it was mutated, since really they have no access to genetic disease pathology going back that far. Therefore, it's really a way to hide their modern manipulation of the disease. And according to Echo Health Alliance, 75% of the emergent diseases that are infecting humans have come from animals. They report that some of the most infamous diseases of the 21st century, AIDS, HIV, SARS, bird flu, are all animal-related, okay? So just be aware that you can have another disease, and it could be called something else, and, you know, it may have come from bats, because I think they've all gone kind of batty, Pastor, these scientists.
Well, yeah, Wendy, you kind of have an idea, a suspicion, what the next one's going to be when we start seeing that they've come up with a new so-called vaccine for a particular disease that's not here yet. So we know that they've got the vaccine ready to make money, So they're about ready to release the disease, if you will, upon the populace. You know, over in Deuteronomy 28, 29, he talks about how we're going to have plagues that we had never heard of, that weren't mentioned yet, that were unknown, but they're going to be. And this is exactly, these are man-made, and the United States leads the world in making these man-made diseases. And it's the Department of Defense that is actually behind all of this. Our Department of Defense is behind and all of these labs generating all of these diseases out there. And, boy, I'm going to tell you, we've got to get rid of the dark, deep state. We have got to get rid of the deep state. It's killing off the world.
Yeah. Well, let's just look at these nine diseases real quick. These were nine infectious diseases that really, they give virologists and epidemiologists pause, okay? They're life-threatening. And so these are the kinds of pathogens that keep them awake at night. Let's look at the hemorrhagic fever type.
That's a horrible thing.
Ebola, Marburg, these are, you know, hemorrhagic fever. Mortality rates start with this thing in the 40% category. Then there's a less of fever. It usually is a taken from rats, 15% mortality. Rift Valley fever from mosquitoes, 10% mortality. Zika virus from mosquitoes, that typically tends to affect the unborn. The MARS, the Middle Eastern Acute Respiratory Syndrome, that was from camels. Mortality rate 35%. And SARS from mammal palm cavet, 1% mortality. And Disease X, they have a list, Pastor, and they have a Disease X. Scientists at Cornell University think that the unknown viral disease will come from bats with a 50% mortality rate. And they've been playing with these bat viruses because scientists at the University of Zurich have stated that the bat flu uses an MHC2 molecule protein on the cell surface to enter the host cell and replicate. So they say now that the bat flu can infect humans, chickens, pigs, mice, and other bat species. They were saying at the time, in 2014, they had not observed a bat flu infection and are really not certain if that would have any much damage. So they weren't really saying that they had isolated it to infect humans, but they were working on it. They were interested in that fact, and that was in October, listed in the Public Library of Science Pathogens Journal. Here's a quote from the journal. They said, using published sequence information on the synthesized bat virus flu genome, which has 8 genes identified in 2019, we tried to infect human tissue with it to watch cell reaction, and it turned out we could not infect human cells with the bat flu. So we tried it on different vertebrate species, dogs, pigs, monkeys, and other bats, and were also unable to infect any of them collectively. We conclude that the bat influenza possesses little, if any, pandemic threat to humans. Well, what did we just learn in the last 3 years about bat flus?
Yeah. You know, I know that these things were created in laboratories. It's very well documented now.
Mm-hmm.
And we know, in fact, over here, we know that there's a guy named Mr. Fauci that should be charged with mass genocide. And somebody gave me a Fauci dowel, believe it or not. And listen to this.
Gag the holes with lots of boosters.
Okay, here is Mr. Fauci.
Vaccine shots, booster jabs, Wuhan will the way.
Can you hear that?
Yeah, I can hear it.
I'm trying to figure out where, which part of this thing is the noise is coming from.
I am science.
Fauci says he is science.
Vaccinate. Social distancing forever.
Okay, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, what the University of Zurich scientists were saying is that they were dissecting bat flus, and they were trying to find a receptor for the virus that enters the human cell. They call that the entry gate. So they've been tinkering and playing with this for a while.
Now, you
got to ask yourself, why would they, if they're saying, okay, we tried to infect these species, including human cells with bird flu or bat flu, and it didn't work. Okay, well then stop. Why would you want to infect anything else with it, really?
Well, that's right? The whole point. Well, here's the reason why.
Yeah.
All of those that hate God love death.
Right.
All of those that hate God love death. And here, our Department of Defense is leading. They're the ones behind the world depopulation. They're carrying out Bill Gates. They're carrying out George Soros. They're carrying out Klaus Schwab's orders to depopulate the planet. And you can go right to Mr. Austin and Mr. Milley at the head of this stuff. And so, it's unbelievable what it's come to. I've got some articles here. In fact, we're going to 300,000 people in America. 300,000 people have died from the vax, just from the vax alone in America today. 300,000, unbelievable. And
right, but I think people need, you know, I think more people are waking up that, you know, they're a little bit more suspicious now of vaccines and things.
Yeah, we're hearing from more people. will not take. They will not take their and they're being sued more and more. These companies now that are trying to force people to take the vax, who are part of this, are being sued, and so that is good. But I've had a number of people call me. I had one lady tell me when I told her earlier on about the vax. She was telling me how, well, now my doctor told me that it's safe, and I trust. I said, don't trust your doctor. Your doctor doesn't know about the vax. Your doctor is just doing what Big Pharma's telling him to do, and don't trust him. I'm telling you. Well, guess what? I heard from her later on, and she said, I have to admit something to you. I took the vax, and I had a horrible, horrible reaction to it, and now I believe what you're saying. And I said, yeah, well, you could have saved yourself a lot of trouble if you'd have believed that to begin with. And she says, and no, I no longer trust my doctor. And so, yeah, I guess I wouldn't, huh?
Well, the thing is, you know, people have been kind of conditioned. I mean, you've got a lot of medical TV shows that people watch, and they get the impression that, you know, medicine can do no wrong. I think medicine has its place. And I think that's trauma care. So there is a place for medicine, but to blindly trust everything is not a smart thing. Working in the halls of hospitals and doctors' offices, that I got quite an education because it was definitely not, you know, Marcus Welby, M.D. It wasn't like that.
No.
A lot of things happen. So people need to understand that your medical doctors get no training in immune system at medical school, unless they are going to peel off into a specialty. But most of your general practitioners and so forth, they don't really get much education on the immune system. They get zero training and education on the vaccines. The only thing they get in medical schools, and this is from doctors themselves saying this, they only get the schedule card when to give them.
Yep.
And then there's lots of doctors, emergency room doctors, and I spoke to one virologist that said that he had been a virologist for over 35 years before he understood that thimerosal in the vaccine was actually mercury.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
It is. It's like, well, like you've been saying, things aren't always what they appear to be.
No.
You know?
You know, well, let me give you a good example of that. Your CDC, a CDC leaker from the CDC leaked. CDC uses tax dollars for a secret school to train LGBTQ training, a secret school to train sodomites. This is where your tax money is going to. Project Veritas published leaked audio revealing mandatory CDC guidelines on transgender ideology in the state of New Mexico. This is the LGBTQIA. There was one pastor that says that LGBTQ means let God burn them quickly. Okay.
I mean, didn't King David, you know, have instructions for his 300 men of valor when he encountered them? Yeah.
Not to touch them with their hands.
Not to touch them.
Mm-hmm. This is the LGBT training session sent to Project Veritas by a teacher in Albuquerque. There are seven things you should disclose to anyone, even if you think it'd be helpful, says Angela Ritz, a representative, or you should not disclose to anyone. You know what, I'm up to a break, so I'll have to get to this later. We're going to a quick break. Hang tight, and we'll be back right. Oh, 3 minutes? Okay, wait a minute. We're not going to a break. Hang tight. I thought he said 3 minutes, not 30 seconds. Okay. Even if they don't have a gender LGBTQIA support plan, students can determine their gender and which sex-segregated facility they want to use to request specific names or pronouns for use. They have safe zone programs for allegedly elementary school transgender students. They do often, though, at lunch because they use their after-school session. Parents have to give permission slips. In other words, they do this without parental permission, behind the backs, usurping the parental roles. Now, here's the thing, Wendy. They're teaching these kids that you can be a boy. If you're a girl and you want to be a boy, then all you have to do is want to be, and you are. I mean, this is so satanic and so wicked. After the break, we're going to hear a little bit from General Flynn, because there's some good news in this, and the good news is all across the country now, people are pushing back. Parents are starting to push back. And so if you wanted to hear this, I know that you you have a big day ahead of you.
I got to go rest my eye, as it were. But our new catalog did come in, so if anybody needs a new catalog, they can reach out and give us a call at 866-229-3663. Or visit us online at thepowerherbs.com. The new catalog is up there if you want to download that.
All righty. And that, if you go to thepowerherbs.com, you can find it on there, or 866-229-3663. Folks, you really need to stock up on the herbs that God gave us. Folks, think about this. God gives us the natural herbs. Big Pharma gives us witchcraft. So there you go. All right, Wendy, I'm going to let you go and get your beauty sleep. Thank you so
much, and God bless all your listeners, and we'll talk soon.
Well, God bless you, and thanks for all that you've done for over the years. And here, like just tonight, you're giving the people a warning. Remember, way out in front, before one person had taken the COVID shot, we were warning people about what they were, and we were right. We were absolutely, we tried to tell folks, and now over 300,000 people have died, and many times that amount are sick now or damaged because of this COVID shot. And now I'm hearing from more and more people saying, I wish I had listened. I wish I had listened to you guys. I wish I had listened to you and not trusted my doctor. God bless, Wendy. Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye now. All right, folks, we're coming up to a break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the film you're going to hear, or the clip. So don't go away. We'll be right back after this.
Fight the fire.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.